appreciate the limited debate. Starting with budget bill, Senate Bill 5501, Department of Economic Development. Senator Bradbury, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5501 is the budget for the Economic Development Department. The committee recommends a general fund budget of $14,683,535. This amount continues current programs and is 10.1% above the estimate of the 87-89 expenditures. The increase reflects a reduced base budget with services and supply costs held below the inflation rates allowed by budget instruction. In addition, this budget includes funding for a forest marketing program transferred from the Forestry Department, $1 million in funding for the small business development centers operated by community colleges, and resources for a joint venture with the Oregon Historical Society to promote the Oregon Trail. The committee reviewed the agency's request for funds for administration of lottery finance programs and approved an allocation that will include, in addition to administration, the provision of technical assistance for regional strategies implementation and a contract with the executive department to conduct audits and evaluations of lottery programs funded in House Bill 3075.
Further debate? Hearing none. Anybody opposed sending 5501 to the Senate do pass with the attached amendments? Hearing none. We'll skip the next one. Senator Hill is not here. We'll take Senate Bill 5568. Senator Yee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill contains two appropriations related to property tax relief. It provides $116 million for payment of property tax assistance to renters and homeowners based upon their incomes. The Legislative Revenue Office provided the revised estimate of need for 1989 to 91. It is about $14 million less than will be paid out in the current biennium. In effect of rising incomes which qualify recipients for declining levels of assistance. The second appropriation provides $20,227,000 from the general fund to supplement repayments received and used to pay claims for current deferrals. Overall, this program will provide about $46 million of assistance for homeowners who qualify for a deferral of property taxes. I urge your approval.
Further discussion on HARP? Hearing none. Any opposition to sending Senate Bill 5568 to the Senate with a due pass as amended? Hearing no opposition, so ordered. Next is 5569. Senator Roberts, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. 5569 is the budget for grants and aid in the Department of Education. The Department of Education distributes grants to school districts for a variety of purposes. The level recommended for 1989-91 totals $304.2 million. That amount includes $232 million of federal funds, primarily for school lunch programs, compensatory and vocational education. Other funds account for another $11.6 million, which supports the student driver training and JEPTA programs and special education programs for which county school billings are collected. The general fund segment of the grant aid budget is $60.6 million. About $47 million is for special education. These programs are displayed beginning on page one of the budget report and summarized top page three. These include programs for the trainably mentally retarded, regional and hospital programs, the Handicapped Child Fund, from which school district special education costs are reimbursed, and educational programs for children in private agency programs. Also displayed under special education are the talented and gifted and child development specialist programs. Other general fund grant programs support a special program in Portland for disadvantaged children, pre-kindergarten and parent training programs, and school district personnel development grants. That's the 2020 program, part of it from last session. All expenditures proposed in the Senate Bill 5569 are within the expenditure limitation. Compared to 1987-89, the overall spending increase is 9.5%. The general fund increase is 13.3%. All programs, including those that were phased in during 1987-89, received a biennialized 4% cost of living adjustment. However, budget resources within the expenditure limitation were not sufficient to cover revenue losses, mandated workloads, and extraordinary salary increases in programs for which the state is responsible. These include $3.4 million for regional programs and about $573,000 for hospital programs. These unfunded issues are described in detail in the budget report. It's subcommittee recommendation that this budget be approved and that the highest priority be given in any omnibus expenditure to measure these items which could not be covered within the expenditure limitation. I'd urge the adoption of Senate Bill 5569.
Is there further discussion on this bill?
Senator Mr. Yee? Chairman, are these all under the spending limitation?
Mr. Chairman, they are.
Further discussion? Any opposition to sending this to the floor of the Senate for the attached amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on and kind of bounce around on the agenda relationship to who is here. Those who are not here obviously are excused for other businesses. The next items will be bills reported out of committee. At this time, we'll start with Senate Bill 215 relating to economic development. Senator Bradbury, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 215, as amended, does two basic things. It continues the county fair and special events grants program that has been in state law for, I think, 4 years. It continues that. In addition, it makes a new addition to the lottery program called Community Facilities. And this is a fairly significant program because it has somewhere in the range of $8 or $9 million in it. For municipalities, grants may be made for the purpose of assisting municipalities to acquire, alter, construct, or rehabilitate community facilities. The definition of community facilities was further refined by the subcommittee to assure that ports were included in the definition of municipality and to assure that no project was eligible for double funding. For example, they wouldn't be able to qualify for both money for a project from community facilities and from special public works at the same time. Additionally, provisions were adopted which provide that the non-rural municipalities are required to provide a 50% match for any grant and that not less than one-third of the funds dispersed as grants are to be used to fund projects in rural areas and at least one-third are to be used for projects in non-rural areas. This is basically the same distribution formula that currently exists for the Special Public Works Fund, and it's basically adopted the Community Facilities Fund. Funding for these two grant programs was removed from this measure and is included in House Bill 3075. Subcommittee recommends that the A and Gross Senate Bill 215 be adopted as amended by the subcommittee and sent to the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Is there further discussion on this? Is there any opposition to sending this bill as amendments are attached to the Senate floor? Due pass. Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Bradbury, once again, would you take Senate Bill 1064, please?
Be happy to, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1064 is the Oregon Ports Dredging Fund. This bill comes from the Joint Committee on Trade and Economic Development. It establishes a ports dredging fund, which will be administered by the Economic Development Department and would allow specified ports to receive funds only when federal law or regulation requires ports to pay a portion of federally funded dredging costs. And dredging costs would, or dredging activities that are spoken to in the bill, would include the federally required studies that have to be done that require a cost share in addition to the actual dredging that needs to be done. The Ways and Means Subcommittee amended 1064 to allow accrual of interest to the Oregon Ports Dredging Fund. We deleted references to deep water and made it a fund that would be available to all ports in the state. We corrected references to the Economic Development Department and added an emergency clause and established a $1 expenditure limitation of lottery funds in the event that the Economic Development Fund revenues should be made available in the future.
Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 1064? Is there any opposition to sending it straight to the Senate floor as amended? Hearing no opposition, so ordered. Senator Bradbury, once again on 1078.
Phew! Small one.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1078 establishes a housing rehabilitation program for low and moderate income households. The program would be administered by the State Housing Council. Priority will be given to projects which create opportunities for owner-occupied housing. Second priority would go to rental projects serving low-income persons, to government and nonprofit-owned and operated projects, and to projects that integrate housing, job placement, and social services. The bill also directs the council to work to seek a reasonable geographic distribution of funds and assure that rural areas have an opportunity to participate. This bill was also amended with a $1 lottery fund limitation, and if there are monies available from the Economic Development Fund, this program could be funded.
Further discussion on 1078. Is there any opposition to sending this as the amendments to be attached to the Senate floor do pass? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Hamby, I think we'll go back, if it's okay with you. We'll take in this order 148, 203, and 314. We'll start with the first relating to water, Senate Bill 148. Senator Hamby, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 148, under the provisions of this measure, Water Resources is permitted to establish rules which will allow an individual to obtain a license for limited surface water use. Currently, an individual must apply for and obtain a water right, which can be both time-consuming and costly. This measure establishes a priority of rights and a 90-day limitation for the use of surface water. The measure also states that the fee for a limited license is to be established by rule by the Water Resources Commission. The subcommittee also amended the bill to delay implementation of diversion requirements for fish screening or bypass devices, requiring that the Department of Fish and Wildlife conduct a study, establish guidelines, and develop a plan for determining priorities for and installation and maintenance of fish screening and bypass devices. The subcommittee recommends that the bill be sent to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Hamby.
Senator.
Discussion.
No discussion, just for the record, the amendments that we made to the bill referred to fish screening are almost word for word from the budget notes that we placed in the Park and Fish and Wildlife budget. However, the irrigators felt more comfortable if we put it in statute also, and so that's what we did.
Is there further discussion or comments? Not, is there objection to sending Senate Bill 148 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. And proceeding down the agenda items, Senator Hamby, Senate Bill 203.
Yes, Senate Bill 203 is the $8 million appropriation for the implementation of EDNA. The bill establishes the Office of Educational Policy and Planning as the agency responsible for the administration of the funds. It establishes an EdNet board with a provision for members' appointment, the appointment of staff, and payment of expenses. The committee adopted an amendment designed to assure that EdNet will not compete with the telecommunications utilities in non-educational activities. I urge your support.
Thank you, Senator Hamby. Questions? Discussion? If not, is there objection to sending Senate Bill 203 to the Senate floor of the due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Item on the agenda, Senate Bill 314, Senator Hamby.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The bill merges Senate Bill 213 relating to the administration of the Oregon Business Development Fund program with the provisions of this bill, the Economic Development Business Loan. The bill establishes a new loan subsidy program to be administered through the banks of the state. The program is titled Capital Access, for which there is lottery fund allocation of $1.5 million in House Bill 3075. Subcommittee on Ways and Means reviewed both bills and, with the approval of the Trade Committee, added those provisions from Senate Bill 213, which changed the administration of the OBDF program, including increases in the interest rate charged for these loans, changes in set-aside limitations and definitions, and expansion of business that will be eligible for loans. The new Capital Access Program is a creation of the Trade Committee. It is modeled after a Michigan program and will provide state funds as a contribution to banks' loan loss reserves as a means of encouraging banks to make loans to small businesses. I urge your support.
Thank you. Discussion? Questions? If not, is there objection to Senator Hanvey's motion that Senate Bill 314 report to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Let's go back now and pick up Senator Larry Hill's motion on Senate Bill 560.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5560 provides for three adjustments in previously adopted budgets. Section 1 of the bill is a technical adjustment regarding expenditure and interest earnings of funds appropriated for 1985-87 to the Mental Health Division for acquisition of housing related to the 1987-89 Fairview downsizing effort. Approval will satisfy the Audit Division concerns and assure that legislative intent is followed. Sections 2 and 3 provide supplemental limitations for 1987-89 for the State Board of Psychologist Examiners and the State Board of Radiologic Technicians. The additional expenditure authority is needed by the two boards because of unanticipated costs that occurred during the biennium. Both boards have sufficient other funds revenue to support the additional expenditures. Recommend passage.
Thank you. Other questions? If not, is there objection to sending Senate Bill 5560 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Now, we'll move back to, I think we now pick up on the regular sequence of the agenda, and let's go to Senator Yee, Senate Bill 1143, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1143, as amended, establishes guidelines for funding regional centers for treatment of adolescents with alcohol and drug dependencies. The Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs is authorized to establish by rule the minimum number of beds and services necessary for an effective and efficient center. This bill also sets forth criteria for determining regional need and regional services areas. Funding of new or expanded centers is subject to the availability of funds. The committee recommends approval of this measure as a first step in assuring that treatment needs of adolescents are met and that society is better protected from the adverse effects of alcohol and drug abuse. I urge your support.
Thank you. Other questions? If not, is there objection to Senator Yee's motion?
Mr. Chair,
Bill, I'm sorry.
I just want to ask Senator Yee's question. Is this one within or without the expenditure limitations?
Ask her the question.
Senator Yee.
It's subject to availability of funds.
And no money is in the bill, remember?
No money is in the bill.
In fact, that was subject of strong conversation yesterday, was it not?
But there may be some other funds coming along.
There is no general fund in this bill.
There's a serious problem.
There is a serious problem.
It's a good bill.
And it's a good bill. Further discussion. Objection to sending Senate Bill 1143 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Hearing none, so ordered. Next is Senate Bill 1158. Senator Hanvey, please.
1158 speaks to the workforce development programs and provides for the creation of a workforce development fund to be administered by the Economic Development Department for the purpose of funding programs to support and promote literacy, education, and vocational training for Oregon workers. Section 1 sets forth policy and goals of the fund. Section 2 establishes the fund utilizing lottery proceeds and other monies available to the fund. And Section 3 establishes an advisory council. Sections 4 through 12 provide the detailed description of the programs which have been approved and for which funding has been provided in House Bill 3075. Section 13 sets forth the process for allocation of funds between urban and rural areas of the state, and Section 14 sets up the matching requirements. House Bill 3075 provides for a total funding level of $6.7 million for the Workforce Development Fund during the 89-91 biennium from lottery proceeds. In addition, an amount yet to be determined in general funds has been allocated for grants for expansion and further development of coordinated instructional programs between high schools and community colleges, Section 10 of the bill, popularly known as the 2+2 program. And an undetermined amount in general funds has been allocated to the State Scholarship Commission to provide funds for community colleges for economic self-sufficiently financial aid, as described in Section 12. Perhaps there might be some questions from the committee members regarding Sections 4 through 12 that I'd be most pleased to attempt to respond to.
Are there questions of Senator Hanvey for discussion? Is there objection to sending Senate Bill 1158 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, ordered. Next, switching to the House bills, 2272, Representative Gilmore.
Yes, I'll carry this, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2272 is the creation of the new trial court judgeships. This bill establishes five new circuit and district court judgeships in Malheur, Crook, Jefferson, Lake, Marion, Washington counties, effective July 1, 1990. Three additional judgeships, one in Washington and two in Multnomah counties, will be appointed on June 30, 1990. The budget for the Judicial Department has identified up to $1.8 million for the implementation of these appointments. Support staff is included in the budget, and facilities will be provided by the counties.
Is there a question? Objection?
Just a question.
Yes, Senator Larry Hill.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't had time to read the bill. Is this the one that reduces district courts or municipal courts?
No.
Okay.
That gut and stuff bill failed in the House again today.
Okay, just checking.
This is not to be confused. This is creates new judgeships as opposed to any reorganization or elimination.
Okay, thank you.
Is there objection then to sending House Bill 2272 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next, House Bill 2327, Representative Hanlon is not available right now. Let's go then to House Bill 2338, Representative Hanneman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This bill has been here all session, mainly in the revenue committees, and is the county assessment and tax functions bill, which tends or attempts at long last to bring our personal and real property assessments, mainly real property in the 36 counties, especially 26 of those, into compliance. I think most of the members understand what it does. There are two functions for revenue. One goes from 12 to 16% on delinquent accounts, and the other one assesses another $10 on a filing fee for those recording deeds and such services as that. We allocate $1.8 million to cover the cost of startup. $14 million will be shared with the counties in an attempt to, at long last, finance enough appraisers and enough staff in the county sheriff's office, in the county assessor's offices. In the county assessor's offices, in order to try to bring us into compliance, especially in those counties that are the farthest out.
Thank you. Are there questions of Representative Hanneman?
Sure.
Senator Trope.
Representative Hanneman, are there safeguards to see to it that the money somehow or other doesn't get diverted from that, or that it takes the place of money that's there so that we don't get the job done?
Yeah, I think that that the way that works is both by some of the language in the bill itself in 2338, which is extensive. It's more than, it's 12 pages long, and there are protections in there, as well as a sharing, I think, in at least 33 out of 36 counties in the production of the bill so far as the input from the Assessors Association was. And we have the feeling that the money truly will go where it should. And of course, the Department of Revenue is the overlord in the operation as usual. So we think with this money now that we have at least for the next 10 years provided what we want to do.
Thank you. Further questions? Discussion? If not, is there objection to Representative Hanneman's motion that the amended House Bill 2338 report to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Senator Yee is noted as objecting. Any other objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Let's now drop back and pick up Representative Hanlon's motion on House Bill 2327.
Thank you, Senator Thorne. 2327 relates to shorthand reporters, and it requires that they be certified within the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and allows that all shorthand reporters with two years of experience be certified upon application. New shorthand reporters would be required to meet certain speed requirements for certification. The bill allows the commissioner to promulgate rules for implementation of the act and provide civil penalties for violation of the law or any rule of the commissioner. It also creates a 7-member advisory committee. Subcommittee's amendments would allow the commissioner to establish a fee not to exceed $100 for the initial registration and $50 for the biennial renewal and $50 for examination. These fees could not be established or increased without the prior approval of both the executive and the legislative assembly. That's the bill as presented to us.
Are there questions? Or discussion? Objections to Representative Hanneman's motion that House Bill 2327 be reported to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda is a bill carried by Representative Burton. We will pass that for the time being. Senator Troy, is that something that you may want to carry?
Sure, I can do that.
We'll skip down and pick it up and come back. Let's go to Representative Peterson on House Bill 2480.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill was introduced at the request of the governor to address a concern relating to liability insurance coverage for foster parents. The measure expands coverage to include damages not caused intentionally, willfully, or maliciously by foster children in their care, and then limits the coverage to $5,000 per occurrence as long as it doesn't exceed the fair market value. The idea behind this is the increased coverage should actually help CSD recruit more quality foster parents who presently are unwilling to be foster parents because they don't get covered for damages which may be caused by a foster child who's too young or disabled to determine that the damage was intentionally done. There was testimony in committee that about 37% of the claims are rejected by risk management now because they can't identify that they were done by willful intent. The estimated $50,000 in additional general fund cost has been included in the add-back funding recommendations of the committee. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Are there questions? Not objection to Representative Peterson's motion that House Bill 2480 be reported to the House floor with a new passed recommendation. Hearing none, so ordered. Now let's pick up the previous bill, Senator Crow, on House Bill 2479.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2479, as amended, increases the fine for possession and delivery of small amounts of marijuana. It also mandates education and treatment programs for offending juveniles and provides an optional diversion program for adult offenders. The present penalty is a maximum fine of $100. House Bill 2479 increases the fine to a minimum of $500 and a maximum of $1,000. However, the bill as amended does not change the present classifications of the crimes. Adults who opt for diversion pay a petition fee of $302 instead of a fine. For 1989-91, projected revenue from the fines and the fee is estimated at approximately $1 million. Parents who are able are required to pay costs for juveniles, costs for children whose parents cannot pay, and for indigent adults will be paid for from fine and fee revenues. Estimated expenditures for 1989-91 are $964,770. These include administrative costs of $152,472 for two part-time positions and one-time expenditures for curriculum development and provider training. Recommend approval, Mr. Chair.
Are there questions for Senator Trowell?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Roberts?
Senator Trowell, did your subcommittee receive any testimony as to how many people have been arrested each year under the present marijuana law?
I don't know that we've had